Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, continuing on with text 23 to 24. We'll just read the first one again. Shri Parado Vacha, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Parasevanam, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam, Sakyam Atma Nivedanam. Just read the translation again. Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship, the 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto him. In other words, serving him with the body, mind, and words. These 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. And we read about Shravanam the other day. And now it's Kirtanam. Kirtanam. Hearing of the holy name has been described above. Now let us try to understand the chanting of the holy name, which is the second item in the consecutive order. It is recommended that such chanting be performed very loudly. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni says that without shame, he began traveling all over the world chanting the holy name of the Lord. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised. Trinadapi sunichena triva sihishnuna amarina madadanena kirtani aksadhari. You've heard this before. Devotee can very peacefully chant the holy name of the Lord by behaving more humbly than the grass, being tolerant like a tree, and offering respects to everyone, without expecting honor from anyone. Such qualifications make it easier to chant the holy name of the Lord. The process of transcendental chanting can be easily performed by anyone, even if one is physically unfit, classified lower than others, devoid of material qualifications, and not at all elevated in terms of pious activities. Chanting the holy name is beneficial. An aristocratic birth, an advanced education, beautiful bodily features, wealth, and other similar pious activities are all unnecessary for the advancement of spiritual life. For one can very easily advance simply by chanting the holy name. It is understood from the authoritative sources of Vedic literature that especially in this age, Kali Yuga, people are generally living extremely bad in their habits and inclined to accept methods of devotional service that are not bona fide. Moreover, they are always disturbed by material conditions and are mostly unfortunate. Under the circumstances, the performance of other processes such as yajna, dana, tapa, and kriya, sacrifices, charity, and so on, are not at all possible. Therefore, it is recommended, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama iva kevalam, kalo nas deva nas deva nas deva ganti anyataha. This age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. Similarly, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one advances perfectly in spiritual life. This is the best process for success in life. In other ages, the chanting of the holy name is equally powerful, but especially in this age, Kali Yuga, it is most powerful. Kirtanat eva krishnasya mukta sangha param vrajat. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one is liberated and returns home back to Godhead. Therefore, even if one is able to perform other processes of devotional service, one must adopt the chanting of the holy name as the principal method of advancing in spiritual life. Yajnai sankirtana prayer, Yanti hi sumedasa. Those who are very sharp in their intelligence should adopt this process of chanting the holy names of the Lord. One should not, however, manufacture different types of chanting. One should adhere seriously to the chanting of the holy name as recommended in the scriptures. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. While chanting the holy name of the Lord, one should be careful to avoid 10 offenses. From Sanat Kumara, it is understood that even a person is a severe offender in many ways, he is free from offensive life, he takes shelter of the Lord's holy name. Indeed, even if a human being is no better than a two-legged animal, he'll be deliberated if he takes shelter of the holy name of the Lord. One should therefore be very careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of the Lord's holy name. These offenses are described as follows. 1. A. Blaspheming the devotee, especially a devotee engaged in broadcasting the glories of the holy name. B. To consider the names of Lord Shiva or any other demigod equally as powerful as the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one is equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor is anyone equal superior to him. C. To disobey the instructions of the spiritual master. 4. To blaspheme the Vedic literatures compiled in a pursuance of the Vedic literatures. E. To comment that the glories of the holy name are exaggerated. F. To interpret the holy name in a deviant way. G. To commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name. H. To compare the chanting of the holy name to pious activities. I. To instruct the glories of the holy name to a person who has no understanding of the chanting of the holy name. And J. Not to awaken in transcendental attachment to the chanting of the holy name even after hearing all these scriptural injunctions. There is no way to atone for any of these offenses. It is therefore recommended that offender at the feet of the holy name continues to chant the holy name 24 hours a day. Constant chanting of the holy name will make one free of offenses. Then he'll gradually be elevated to the transcendental platform which he can chant the holy name, pure name, and thus become a lover of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is recommended that even if one commits offenses, one should continue chanting the holy name. In other words, the chanting of the holy name makes one offenseless. In the book Nama Kaumudi, it is recommended that if one is offender at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, he should submit to that Vaishnava and be excused. Similarly, if one is an offender and chanting the holy name, he should submit to the holy name and be free from offenses. In this connection, there is the following statement spoken by Daksha to Lord Shiva. I did not know the glories of your personality, and therefore I have committed an offense at your lotus feet in the open assembly. You were so kind, however, that you did not accept my offense. Indeed, I was falling down because of accusing you, and you saved me by your merciful glance. You are the most great. Kindly excuse me. Be satisfied with your own exalted qualities. One should be very humble and meek to offer one's desires and chant prayers composed in glorification of the holy name, such as Ai Mukta Kular Upasya Manam and Nivritti Tarshara Pagyamanad. One should chant that such prayers come free from offenses at the lotus feet of the holy name. Namo Vishnuvaraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Dharamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyatyade Svatarane. Well, we accept the Brihad. What's the name of the scripture again? The Brihad. Where it's Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Steva, Nisteva. What is it? Brihad Narada Purana. Brihad Purana, yeah. And we accept it that the whole purpose of, or the whole focus in Kali Yuga is chanting Hare Krishna. Now there are other activities that are recommended, such as deity worship and reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, but they all culminate by chanting offenselessly the holy name. Now we can make it very complicated, in one sense, because we're complicated, it's not bad to make it complicated. But ultimately it's quite simple, but not very easy. It's simple if we actually sincerely ask Krishna to engage us in his loving service. That's all we have to do. That word sincerely, though, is a little difficult to understand exactly what sincerely means. And here it says that because we don't understand it, I mean, sincere is something we develop. No one was born sincere. It's not that when we came out of the womb of our mother, we were sincere, because everyone thinks they're sincere. But everyone is sincere, but the question is what they're sincere about. Now, to become seriously and sincere about Krishna consciousness means it takes not only theoretical understanding, it takes experience. We can only become mad after chanting Hare Krishna. When we chant Hare Krishna, we get such a high experience, such a ecstatic experience, that we become addicted to the holy name. Now, if we chant Hare Krishna because we don't really know Krishna that well, we don't have experience of Krishna, and our senses, mind, and intelligence are covered by the illusory energy. Just like if you're eating a feast and you put a glove on your tongue, no matter how good the food is, you can't taste it. Similarly, we have a covering over our senses, mind, and intelligence, and therefore, no matter how nice the holy name is, we don't experience it as it actually is. We experience it through the coverings of the contaminated mind, senses, and intelligence. Still, the holy name is the holy name, and considering Krishna is the source of everything, everything comes from him, it must be quite powerful if it was chanted with the right consciousness. Now, one thing is that we have to hear, and the main thing is that, as it says, Nashitya Karma Palam, Karma Karma Karutiya, Sasanyasi Chiyogicha, Inirajnir Nachakriya. One is unattached to the results of his work. No, everyone is attached to the results of their work, consciously or unconsciously, in material life, because we need shelter. Since we're only 1/10,000th the size of Tipperary size, which is rather small. Luckily we're so small that even if someone steps on us, it would make any difference. They couldn't even find us. Since we're so small, our nature is always seeking shelter. Now, when we take shelter of the results of his work, then this is more or less indicating that we're taking shelter of something material. Why do we take shelter of the results of our work? Because we're anxious about what's going to happen to our body, or even to our mind. Or above everything is our false ego. Do people really respect me? Do they think my body is nice? Just like I love my body, does someone else love my body also? Will they protect my body? Will they care for it? Even when it's old and ugly, will they still respect it? So we're completely absorbed in this shelter called the material body. Not completely in the material world, and in devotional service it becomes a little slacking. We hear we're not supposed to take shelter of our material conceptions so much, which includes the whole idea that my body should be protected, my mind should be peaceful and happy, my intelligence should understand how I can become peaceful and happy, and my false ego should always be honored, because no one should ever criticize me or anything I ever do, because otherwise I'll feel bad and I'll cry internally or externally. But kirtan, chanting the holy name, means that at least theoretically we have to understand these ideas, and then try at least to chant as sincerely as we can, asking Krishna to engage us in his loving service. Now, we can say, my dear Krishna, please can you engage me in your loving service, and we don't get any experience from that. Well, at least I don't. Or we could try to chant lovingly. Now, what lovingly means different things to different people, because we can't go, oh, Krishna, I love you. We don't even know Krishna, so what to speak of? I love Krishna. You're going to have a big t-shirt, a big heart, I love Krishna. Like they have, I love Vrindavan. They probably could put, I love Lloyd Bazaar, there's a lot of good bars. Get all my toothpaste there. So love is not an abstract concept, because we always love something. Unfortunately, our love has been misdirected or directed to many, many different objects. We love a good loved him in. We love a soft object like a dog or something like that. Oh, Fifi, I love you. Because it makes us feel good. So anything that makes us feel good, we love. Now, when we chant Hare Krishna, we may not feel so good. Because when we chant Hare Krishna, all the dust of our previous activities come up. Our mind becomes agitated. And we think, how can I chant the holy name? My mind gets agitated every time I chant. There's one devotee who told me, more than one devotee, I can't chant the holy name. Every time I chant the holy name, my mind becomes agitated. I just can't keep on chanting. As if my mind was perfectly still before and peaceful, relishing every moment. As soon as they said Hare Krishna, oh my God, my mind is so agitated. No, actually, someone who's completely in the mode of ignorance, when they chant Hare Krishna, suddenly thoughts, they start realizing they're just covered with thoughts. They start becoming conscious of all the crazy things that they're thinking about, all the mental agitation. Before, they were so much in ignorance, they weren't even aware of it, how much they were suffering. Just like a tree, you go up to a tree and say, my dear tree, chant Hare Krishna and you'll be happy. The tree thinks, well, if the tree could understand what you were saying, the tree says, I'm perfectly happy. I'm peaceful here. Nothing bothers me. Yeah, nothing bothers because nothing, they don't experience anything hardly. So when we start chanting Hare Krishna, waking up, it's disturbing. We start realizing that there's something beyond our dreamland that we're living in. And it's not so pleasant. There's another reality. Like nowadays, people are suffering so much, they want to have this virtual reality. They can't control anything in this world except for their computer games. The only time they ever win is in the computer game, and what they get from it is nothing in return for it. Just waste their time. But they feel a sense of ego. I'm the best in the whole world. I'm number one in this complete computer game. Everyone should respect me. I walk into the temple and you go, do you know who I am? They go, who are you? I'm number one in the dragon in the dungeon. Oh, boo. You're so wonderful. I can't believe it. How can I serve you? I always wanted to become a dragon. So people are living in imagination, and we're also living in an imagination. We just know, we're supposed to know that we're living in imagination. Most people think it's real, and we're supposed to know we're living in imagination. But our false ego doesn't give up this material conception so easily. We put on neck beads and we have tilak and we dress in adharis. Look at me, how pious and advanced I am. I'm definitely out of the material conception. Don't tell me anything that's going to insult me. Because I'll just think, oh, this lecture, He's always telling people, insulting everyone. He is so puffed up. I can't believe it. He's so much in the bodily conception of life. He thinks everyone else is in the bodily conception of life too. He's so proud. But the fact is, it's not so easy to get out of the bodily concept of life. And therefore, when we chant Hare Krishna, unless, especially in this age where we want immediate satisfaction and benefit for whatever we do, it's the instant pill age, instant coffee, instant aspirin, instant everything. People don't even like to cook. You know, there's, you boil some water and you mix your food in there and stir it and you eat. And even that's too much. You got to order, you know, you got to pick up your shop. Bring it immediately. Okay, yes. You got 5 minutes or else it's free. Better be hot. Because I can't heat it up. I'm too lazy. So people want instant gratification all the time. And anything takes more than 15 minutes, you know, it's too much, you know. Why do I have to take so long? Why does it have to take so long? So therefore, Prabhupada usually try to encourage his impatient disciples when they'd ask, how long will it take to chant the holy name perfectly? You know, Prabhupada would always say, within this lifetime. Or, how pure do we have to become to go back to Godhead? Prabhupada said 100%, and everyone was morose. And Prabhupada said 90%. And 90% of the devotees were morose. 70%. 70% of the devotees were morose. 50%. 50% morose. So that's the limit. That's it. Can't get 1%. Ah! That's it. I'm in. That's my number, 1%. I'm the top 1%. If Prabhupada told the truth, he wouldn't have had any followers. Because no one wants to hear the truth. If you tell people a lie, they think, oh, this person is very nice. Flattering. As I said the other day, if you're in the airport and you meet a mother with her daughter, if you want to sell, you give them both a book and say, excuse me, are you both sisters? And then the lady goes, oh, you're just flattering me. But here's a donation in here. Everyone wants to be flattered. But it's not very good. Being flattered is not very good to understanding what our actual position is. And unless we understand our actual position, there's no reason to chant the holy name with feeling. Because everyone's thinking, due to illusion, I have some special protection. I'm something special. I'm not in Syria right now. No one's trying to kill me. I'm not, you know, in a hospital. I don't have COVID-19. I'm not about to die because I'm so young. Everyone is thinking there's something special. I memorized 15 verses, so therefore, I'm the top of my class. So everyone has some reason to take shelter of illusion. But the reality is, all this illusion that we're under can help us, especially at the time of leaving our bodies. It doesn't really help us now, because even now, whatever we believe is our shelter is actually our prison. This is called Yoga Chalati Manasa. That when we try to get out of illusion, Maya will try to remind us of all the great assets we have. Why should we leave it behind? We may never get these great assets again. Why get out of the material world? It's just getting better all the time. You have a great future. Why leave it behind? Wait till you're 99 years old and you can't move anymore. Then take shelter of Krishna. That's appropriate. Get serious when you have to. Right now there's no reason. So we have to find out all the reasons why we should take shelter of the holy name, and then we might take it seriously and try out chanting Hare Krishna with some seriousness. Or find out all the reasons why we shouldn't worry about when we're chanting. So even though there may be so many things to worry about in our conception, at least put it aside for some time and just happily chant Hare Krishna. Try to pay attention. And when the things come to our mind that we think, oh, that's a pastime I had or could have, let me think about that for a while. The rounds will go quicker. It may not be Krishna's pastime, but everything is Krishna anyhow. And I'll get back to the chanting holy name. It may be 5 or 6 rounds. No one should become convinced that at least for some time when we're chanting the 16 rounds, just put everything else aside and try and listen to the holy name, try to hear how we're chanting, and then try to improve on how we're chanting so we're chanting better. Try to practice that, and gradually we'll be able to chant offenselessly. But if we allow offenses to come to our mind and we don't do anything about it, we become complacent, then the result is that these things will come to our mind more often. Either we make the effort, or Maya will take over gradually. She's an active participant in our lives. It's not like Maya is somewhere else, and Krishna is somewhere else, and we're somewhere else. No, we're all together. Krishna is there, Maya is there, we're somewhere close to there, wherever they are. So we have to determine to take shelter of Krishna, and then Maya will gradually say, very nice, I'll give up this much, you've taken shelter this much, I give up this much, but don't forget all these other nice things I have in store for you. And ultimately, as one progresses, then Maya will present bigger things, bigger packages. Here's a little package for you. All right, you don't want that one? Well, what about this one? Here's one for you. No, that's all right. All right, what about that one? Okay, Maya, you got me. Or the mafia says, give a deal they can't refuse. So Maya's like that too. She has the whole material universe. She has inconceivable potencies of illusion. And therefore we have to always progressively try to take shelter of the holy name, because Maya will always give us more and more reasons to surrender to her. And unless we take shelter, unless we understand why we should give them up and take shelter of Krishna, we'll probably get distracted for some time before Maya gives us some reason to take shelter of Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
There was a list of the 9 offenses, and the 9th was to instruct those who do not want to hear.
It's 10 offenses.
Sorry, what did you say? 10 offenses, and the 9th was it's to instruct someone who has no understanding of the chanting of the holy name. Don't we usually preach about the holy name anyway?
Well, there's a difference between if you're giving a class and instructing someone. Say you meet someone on the street, say chant Hare Krishna, and you say Hare Krishna. Well, let's say you're not chanting properly. You've got to go Hare Krishna. Try again. Don't you know that Krishna and his name are not different? So we have to. People have no idea what we're talking about. I mean, this is probably one of the definitions, but generally speaking, we should instruct people on something that they can do something about. They have some familiarity about. They have some interest in. They have no interest in the holy name. We shouldn't explain it to them elaborately what the holy name is and the benefits and how to chant. With the 9, give them a lecture on the street. You chant Hare Krishna now, you have to learn the 10 offenses. I have to gradually introduce the philosophy to people so that it's seen as something real and practical in their lives.
Yeah. It seems that there is a phenomenon of sharing or speaking about something that is inspiring to the speaker, and then the speaker may sometimes lose the taste that he expressed.
Yeah, if you talk to a stone, you know, about your love, you know, for someone, then after a while, you know, there's no reciprocation. We need reciprocation. If we're enthusiastic about something, then we need some reciprocation to inspire more enthusiasm. If you go to a football game, which I don't advise, but if you go to a football game and you're the only rooter for one team and everyone else is rooting for the other team, you might get a little bit discouraged. Blue team key dot. Blue team key dot! Blue team key dot. You need some kind of reciprocation to keep your enthusiasm. So if we preach to someone, we see that they're actually getting benefited from it, then we become enthusiastic to preach some more. If you go out and you try and sell a book, you use the line and no one stops, no one, you know, nothing happens. After a while, you give it up if you're sane. If you're insane, you keep on going, excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. The whole day, you know, I couldn't even sell one book. Couldn't even stop a person. You have to try something else. Excuse me, sir. Something else, you know. Not the same thing over and over again. So we have to get the right audience and the right vibration, the right mentality, the right everything. And if there's some result, then we get enthusiastic. Do some more. If you take instructions from an expert golf player, they give you some instruction, you hit the ball and it always goes into the water hole every time you hit it. Then either you'll find another expert golf player or you'll try something, how to hit the ball in a different way. Got to do something different. You got to get a result. So unless we chant Hare Krishna, eventually when we chant Hare Krishna, and every time we chant Hare Krishna, we feel ecstatic, we feel Krishna's presence, we feel awakening of our love for Krishna, we start seeing everything more and more clearly, our whole vision changes, and everything is brighter and more beautiful and more wonderful, more spiritual, then we know, wow, I'm doing something right here. And every time we chant Hare Krishna, we go, Hare Krishna. Krishna. Well, maybe we'll try it before we go to sleep. Pick up your beads, Hare Krishna. But it's not good for spiritual progress. You have to do something that works. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.